Let's consider the definition of the English word hell. First, this is from Webster Dictionary. I'll give another one also. Helium, to conceal. Seal, conceal. Cellar, clandestine. Conceal, heli, helmet. Occult, supercilious. The place of the dead, the grave. Now this is hell that I'm talking about now. The English word hell. The place of the dead, the grave, corresponding to the Hebrew Sheol, and the Greek Hades, hell, the nether world, so forth. Now this is from Smith's Dictionary of the Bible. I took it from the back of an old Bible. It says Hebrew, Sheol, translated grave, pit, hell, and it gives some references there. It says Hades and Gehenna are translated hell. Gehenna, or Valley of Hinnom, alone implies a place of burning or torture. Now that's what I want to show you, that the Greek word Hades should never have been translated into English as... the Greek word Gehenna should never have been translated into English as hell. We'll come to that a little later. Thus we see now that the 70 Greek scholars who translated the Septuagint about 250 years B.C. before Christ used the Greek word. Now it was transferred into Greek, from Hebrew into Greek, about that time. And they used, in virtually all instances, and I have one reference that says all instances, the word Sheol was translated Hades, one meaning the same as the other. Now, here's another thing. The American Revised Version, Smith's translation of the Old Testament, the Revised Standard Version, and the New World Translation all leave the Hebrew word Sheol untranslated. That is, it was just transferred in its original word. It was not translated into anything else, but they just leave it as the Hebrew originally wrote it. That is, they carry the word forward and with all of its original meaning in all the places where it occurred. If the King James Version had done that, I maintain that it would have saved a lot of confusion later and even down to the present day. Also note this, the word hell has no implication of any fire in any place where it occurs in the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. The word hell, it's used in the Old Testament, but it has no implication of fire, not even in the King James Version. We have to go to the New Testament before we find a Greek word, Gehenna, which was translated hell, before we find the word hell implying fire or burning. And that was done in error, as I hope to subsequently show you. Now, before going into the New Testament, though, for the words translated hell, I want to call your attention to some passages in the Old Testament. Now, this is important, and I think that anybody interested in it that don't probably already know it should write these references down. It says, I want to call your attention to some passages in the Old Testament where the word hell is rendered grave in the margin. Now, I told you 2 weeks ago the meaning of the margin. If any of you have a Bible, this doesn't have to be one of them, but I have others, that doesn't have the marginal references in it, and you want to study that Bible, get you a Bible that has the marginal references. If you don't want to study it, why, it doesn't make any difference what kind of a Bible you have. But those references were put there by the translators to give a further explanation to the word concern. So in this case, the word hell is rendered grave in the margin. In Psalm 55:15, Isaiah 14:9, Jonah 2:2, and this also goes into the New Testament. In Revelation 20:13, in the New Testament, at the place where the word hell is mentioned is a reference to the margin. It says, or the grave, thus connecting the word hell and the grave, meaning the same thing. Now, vice versa, we'll say that in Psalms 49:15, the word grave is rendered hell in the margin. That is, the word grave is used and is referenced there, and it gives hell in the margin, thus making the words hell, grave, hell and grave synonymous with the words which are also making the words hell and grave synonymous, and also the words hell and grave synonymous with the words Sheol and Hades. Now, if we could get that in our mind, that Sheol in Hebrew, Hades in Greek, and hell in English means one and the same thing. The error crept in where they translated Gehenna as hell, which meant a place of burning, of fire. And we'll get to that in a minute. Let us go to the word hell. It's found in the New Testament. We find that the Greek word Hades, which we have already pointed out, is in the Greek. It's to the Greek mind what the word Sheol to the Hebrew mind was translated into English by hell 10 times, which is correct. Really, if it is translated from Hebrew Hades, Sheol Hebrew, into hell, it would be the same thing, but because it would mean a covering, a hiding, a burial. But we also find two other Greek words translated hell, and they are the words Gehenna, rendered hell 12 times, and the Greek word Tartarus, rendered hell once. Now, I don't want to take up any time on that Greek word Tartarus, because it means in the nether parts of the earth, or in the earth, similar to the other meaning. But the it is necessary to consider the word Gehenna. Now, I want to give some definition to that. Gehenna, this is a dictionary definition here, and then I think I have another one. I have the diglot definition. The Valley of Hinnom near Jerusalem. Now note that Valley of Hinnom. Now this is a dictionary definition of Gehenna. It says, the Valley of Hinnom near Jerusalem, where some of the Israelites sacrificed their children to Moloch, which was afterward regarded as a place of abomination, and made it receptacle for refuse, perpetual fires being kept up to prevent pestilence. Hence, in the New Testament, hell. Now, that Valley of Hinnom was, in the Hebrew mind, Valley of Hinnom. In the Greek word for Valley of Hinnom was Gehenna. And that Gehenna was translated hell. Why, we don't know. Then the diglot definition. Gehenna, the Greek word translated hell in the common version, occurs 12 times. It is the Grecian mode of spelling the Hebrew words which are translated the Valley of Hinnom. This valley was called Tophet. We had that in one of our lessons, Tophet, you know. I think we should be familiar with it, but we don't have time to explore it too much this morning. A detestation, an abomination. Into this place were cast all kinds of filth, with the carcasses of beasts and the unburied bodies of criminals who had been executed. Continual fires were kept to consume these. Sennacherib's army of 185,000 men were slain here in one night. Their children were also burnt to death as a sacrifice to Moloch. That's what we had in our lesson. And Hebrew children, too. And that took place in that Valley of Hinnom. I wish I had a map here, but say this is Jerusalem right here. It was right in the southern part, the Valley of Hinnom. Quite a little valley there. There was more there than just the fire that was kept burning. Then, Gehenna then, as occurring in the New Testament, symbolizes death and utter destruction, but in no place signifies a place of eternal of eternal torment. Now that's what the diglot definition in diglot says. Now if the translators had not translated Gehenna as hell and carried it forward as Gehenna, there would have been much less confusion in it. Now note, both these definitions mention the Valley of Hinnom. There are many references to the Valley of Hinnom in the Old Testament, also to Tophet. That Valley of Hinnom, now, it's the same thing that was Gehenna in the New Testament, but Gehenna is never mentioned in the Old Testament. But it's the same place, and it was that place in the south of Jerusalem there where fires were kept continually burning all the time, and they burned up the refuse, eat burned carcasses of animals, and carcasses of human beings, criminals, and even the word Tophet particularly refers to it, even in the idolatrous days before Josiah, who destroyed all of that, and stopped it. They sacrificed their own children in there. And Tophet particularly means bells are ringing, horns are blowing. They did that in order to drown the cries of the children that were being sacrificed. Isn't that terrible? Both meaning the same thing. That is, perpetual fires were kept burning. Note also, this place was never translated hell. That is, in the Old Testament, the Valley of Hinnom was never translated hell. Nothing was translated hell in the Old Testament except Sheol and grave. Sheol was translated hell and translated grave also. And which is translated into the King James Version some 12 times as hell, which never in its original meaning means fire. Now it didn't. Hell never meant fire in its original meaning. The word Hades is correctly translated hell, as they both mean the same thing. Now, do you get that point? Hades, all right, translate that hell, because it'll mean a covering up. But the word Gehenna, which means a specific place, the Valley of Hinnom, should never have been translated into in English as hell. The word hell does not appear in the emphatic diaglot. Did you know that? The word hell is not in the emphatic diaglot. But the Greek word Hades and Gehenna are carried forward untranslated. And that's what should have been done. Then we wouldn't have this confusion over hell. Just as the word Sheol is in the American Revised Version and many other versions of the Bible, and this is as it should be. Now this Gehenna fire, the same place now as the Valley of Hinnom. Whenever you read in the Old Testament the Valley of Hinnom, you're reading of Gehenna in the New Testament. Do you get that? Do you associate those two words together? Gehenna in the New Testament means the Valley of Hinnom in the Old Testament. Gehenna doesn't appear in the Old Testament, and neither do I think that the Valley of Hinnom appears in the New Testament. But Gehenna does, which means the Valley of Hinnom. I want to give some, what about this Gehenna fire then? This fire that's mentioned. There is going to be fire. That was burning, this Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna, was burning in the time of Christ. And he only had to refer to it as the smoke was coming up there all the time. It was perpetually burning in the time of Christ. There used to be a place between Texarkana and Dallas, when we'd go to Dallas, over near Garland. There was a place where they dumped refuse from the city. And they kept fire going, there was smoke going there all the time. And when we passed two or three times a year, we'd pass down there. Well, that's smoke. And we'd mentioned that Gehenna is still burning. Now, I want to give some examples of which Christ referred to Gehenna. For example, in Matthew 5:22, in the King James Version, and also verse 29 and 30, says, this is just in part now because we don't have time to get all of it. It says, but whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, what does Diaglot say about that? The New World Translation, Moffat, all say Gehenna fire, or fire of Gehenna. The Revised Standard Version says Gehenna fire by footnote. Goodspeed says fire to pit. So they don't say hell fire. Gehenna fire, which was burning at the time Christ was in Jerusalem and teaching. There it was. It was burning there. That terrible place. A terrible fire burning. And decay and refuse and the abominable sort of a place. And he referred to it as a terrible place. Now, another place. Now the same thing is true in Matthew 10:28, and 23:15, and 33, and Mark 9:43 and 47. Now I want to explain. I want to explore Mark 9:47 for a moment. In the King James Version, now here's what 9:47 says: if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Now that's the King James Version. And verse 48, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Well, you that hell fire there, you can't quench it, can you? That's the way it reads there. And where the worm dieth not. Now there was all kind of rotten things and animals and all kind of detestation going on. Now, in 947, the Diaglot says, "And if thine eye snare thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter one-eyed into the kingdom of God than having two eyes to be cast into Gehenna." Now, Jesus teaching his disciples, and there was Gehenna over there, and it's better for this than to be cast into Gehenna. There is going to be some fire, though, in the future. We'll get to that. The same in the other translations. Note in the 48th verse where it says, "The fire is not quenched." It was not quenched in the time of Christ. It was kept burning now. They didn't let it go out. They didn't put it out, but kept continually burning. Also in James 3:6, King James says, "And it is set on fire of hell." The Diaglot says, "And it is set on fire by Gehenna." The New World Translation also says Gehenna. And the Revised Standard Version says Gehenna by footnote. These are just some of the places where Gehenna, meaning the fire burning in the valley of Hinnom. Now, can you get the association? Gehenna means the same thing as the valley of Hinnom. But there is a question now of unquenchable fire and a question of everlasting fire. What about that? Where the scripture mentions that? In Matthew 3:12 it says, "But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And in Matthew 25:41, he says, "He shall say to them on his left hand, Depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now note, unquenchable fire and everlasting fire do not mean unceasing fire. Unquenchable fire, you couldn't put God's fire out. I want to show you, I want to give you a scriptural proof of that. But, and it's not everlasting fire, necessarily. God's fire is everlasting. He can send it wheresoever he will and accomplish whatsoever he will with it and then withdraw it if he so desires. To show you that eternal fire doesn't mean burning eternally in one place all the time, the 7th verse of Jude. You know, there's just one chapter in the book of Jude. The 7th verse, it reads this way, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now, those cities were burned up, but what kind of fire? By eternal fire, everlasting fire, weren't they? But are they burning over there now anywhere that anybody knows? God's fire is everlasting. He sent it. There's no power on earth could have put out those fires, because that God's fire is unquenchable fire. And that's what it means. You can't put out God's fire. He uses it wheresoever he will and where he and he wishes. But they were burned up with everlasting fire or eternal fire. But it does not follow that they're burning there now. Now there is a class of wicked, though, who will be destroyed by fire. We've heard brethren say that Gehenna will be rekindled in the valley of Hinnom. That's quite a valley there. If 185,000 were killed there, it's quite a little valley there. And this fire will be rekindled. I'm not sure where it'll be. But the wicked will be destroyed. That is, they'll be burned up, not burned eternally. There's no scriptural proof of that. It will be a destroying fire, a consuming fire. Now look at Psalms 37:20. "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs." What will become of them? "They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away." So we can see that which will, that is a the second death Some will die a second death, but they will be consumed. They will be burned up. Let's go on. Let's take a look at, I don't think we can hardly overlook the fourth chapter of Malachi, verses 1 to 3, and any discussion on this subject. It says, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." And the second verse, "But unto you," now they go, it says they'll burn them up. Won't leave nothing. And then the second verse says, "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." That is, you'll be frisky, you'll be happy, you're going to be all right. That is, this class of righteous will be all right. "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of their feet in that day." So the wicked, instead of being burned forever and ever, will be ashes under the soles of the righteous feet. That's the promise of the scripture. Now, Revelation 2:11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear that the Spirit, what the Spirit saith unto the churches, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Now, the scriptures do refer to the second death. "They shall not be hurt, those who overcometh, of the second death." So somebody will suffer the consequences of a second death. Now, in Revelation 20:14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, that lake of fire, they were cast into that lake of death. That is the second death. They're going to die the second time. Not continuous burning. And Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So there we have God's fire, a consuming fire, which is the second death, and not a perpetually burning fire where the unacceptable of God shall be tortured day and night forever and ever.